Okay, let's pray. Father, we commit this time to you as we look into your word. We ask for fresh revelation. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open the eyes of our hearts and draw attention to the areas in our lives that we need to deal with. We ask for your strength. We ask for your grace. We ask for wisdom. Help us, O Lord, as we commit ourselves to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Last weekend, we talked about cleansing from all the influences from the occult. And as we were reviewing this message on Monday, most of the feedback to me is, how come you did not lead us in the prayer? Okay? I thought I did. Give you a tool to fish. You know how to fish. Give you the principles. But we're going to walk you through now. So it's in a handout. Can take out a handout. And I want to walk through with you the principles involved in each. Okay, firstly, lesson number one. We say that God's promises are conditional on our obedience. That partial obedience, incomplete obedience is not obedience. We were studying the book of Joshua, chapter 7, the battle of Ai, all right, and why Israel lost the battle, because there was defilement in the camp. Achan took the Babylonian garments, the wedge of gold, and the silver. So we also learned that there are physical objects and practices that are spiritually defiled and are unclean, and that we must deal ruthlessly to get rid of them in our lives. Okay, you must deal ruthlessly. So I shared with you this, and you don't even have to copy. They are in your handout, based on James 4, verse 6 to 10, and 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to 9. Point number one, we confess, and we must confess as specifically as possible for the purpose of receiving forgiveness. No point in saying, look, I confess my sins. Confess what? Okay? So you confess specifically. And after that, I'm going to walk you through that list. Secondly, we apply the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ does two things for us now. Firstly, the blood of Christ will cleanse us. Every sin will defile us. That's why we need cleansing. And the second thing that the blood of Christ does is the blood of Christ covers the ground given to the evil one because of the sin. We have learned from this pulpit, in the old covenant, the blood of goats and bulls can only temporarily cover their sins. The blood of goats and bulls cannot forgive the Israelites and cleanse them from their sins. We know this from Hebrews chapter 10, the first few verses. But the perfect blood of Christ can do both. Alright? It can cleanse us and cover us. Thirdly, we must get rid and remove the items that defile us. Fourthly, we must submit to Jesus as Lord. We submit to God, and like the War Room movie, submit to God, resist the devil, alright, get the devil out of our lives. Then we draw near to God. How do we draw near to God? Word intake. You must partake the word. How else do we draw near to God? Prayer connect. You must connect with God in prayer. And thirdly, how else do we draw near to God? Build our altar of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. The three spiritual disciplines. Word intake, prayer connect, altar of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Alright? And then, after we do that, number seven, do not be double-minded. Because the evil one is going to look around and see whether you meant what you said. You meant what you did. Or was it just a cursory prayer? You were under pressure. And finally, we must live our lives in total obedience and dependence on God. Okay? So, we're going to go through this prayer together. But before that, on point number one, you must name it specifically. I just want to revise and walk through the checklist which we went through last week. Okay? Last week we talked about if you have difficulty reading the Bible, most of the time, you fall asleep, you yawn, something is wrong. If you are unable to worship, you come here every Sunday, you've been in church for the last 5 years, the last 20 years, and then you are constantly distracted. As we worship, you're thinking of what is going to eat for lunch. As you're worshiping, you think of the assignment this coming week. As you're worshipping, you think of the car park. Whether your car park, whether you be booked or not be booked, because you don't park properly. Alright? You're constantly distracted. Why? The birds flying above your head is having a heyday. Building nests in your head. Alright? And so forth. Were you dedicated to the gods? Okay? As I read it, if it is, put a little note there. You have to confess very specifically. Did you have a kuikia? Alright? That means a fetus god that is your demon spirit guide. Did you visit the temple? Did you participate in the 7-month Hungry Ghost Festival?
Did you consult mediums, no matter how young you were, and you were an unwilling party, dragged along and pulled along by your mother or grandmother? Did you get involved in feng shui, geomancy? Did you participate in yoga, the kundalini spirit? Were you involved in martial arts at the highest level that involves the chi, the spirit? Astral travel, vows, did you make vows before God or before somebody else? Ancestral worship, did you actually worship the dead? Temple healing, funeral rites, did you go around the coffin 9 times? 18 times? When your father died, when your grandmother died? Fortune telling, did you consult a fortune teller? Channeling, chanting, uja board, spells, divination, idols, satanic music, idol worship, taking vows, drinking hu paper, all right, the yellow talisman paper, you drank that, palm reading horoscope. Did you entertain them, even so-called for fun? Occult computer games, satanic worship, TM, religious objects, the bat kwan that we talk about, the tarot cards, and so on and so forth. Okay, so you fill it there, and we're going to pray together. Are you ready? All right, so everybody together on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess my sins of participating in, I'm going to give you 1 minute. You spell out specifically and owning the specific items. Name it before the Lord. That's what you're confessing. Okay, on the count of three, I know that it was evil and offensive in your sight, and I ask for your forgiveness. Number two, I apply. Number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, and number eight. Amen. All right. This is a suggested prayer. You can elaborate on it. All right. Get hold of the principles. And why are we doing all this? Because this, we are stepping up. All right. The theme for this month is being holy. And as a church, we need to step up as we grow and go on in prayer. All right, so that everything else that is messing up our lives, we just want to clean ourselves and move on. All right, you don't want to be held back anymore. So everybody read 2 Corinthians 7, 1, 1, 2, read, therefore. All right, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, all contamination, all defilement. And where is this defilement, contamination and filthiness? In our spirit. Our spirits can get unclean. The demons can go and make a mess out of it. And our bodies will result in sickness, disease, cancer, heart attacks, high blood pressure, all right, and so on and so forth. Okay? Now, today, in today's message, I'm going to focus on two major areas. And we're going to ask the Lord to cleanse us. We're going to walk that through together. So this is not going to be your usual service, just hearing a message. We're going to hear the message and we're going to apply it immediately. And obviously for some of us, this will be not sufficient. The Lord is going to remind you there are other areas that are associated and they are linked. And I want to encourage you, sign up for the RTF. Okay? That is at the end of, for this third quarter, end of August and September. Sign up for the RTF to probe deeper and to tune up and clean up our lives. Today I'm going to talk about two things. Number one, soul ties. And after that, we're going to deal with all that. I'm going to talk about sins, SOFCs, sins of our fathers with its resulting curses, also known as generational iniquities. Okay? So firstly, soul ties. We must break unholy soul ties. And they primarily come through sexual sins. The scripture is here, 1 Corinthians 6, 16 to 18. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two shall become one flesh. When two persons come together in sexual intercourse, they are one flesh. They are glued together. And what is in one passes on to the other. All right? Which is why in verse 18 it says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. I see Brother Jeffrey Goh got an iPhone 21. Nobody else has it. He's special. He went to the US. He's a good friend with, who's the Apple guy? Whoever he is. Alright. iPhone 21 means no matter other places got no bandwidth, he can connect because it's connected through the satellite. Alright. He can download this, that, the other. And I stole it. He found out it is me who stole it. Okay, sorry. Jeff, I'm very sorry. So I returned it to him. Alright. And then I returned it to him. And then I must make restitution. I got to buy him 5 dinars. After that, he's very happy. Then the matter is over. Alright? It's a sin, but it's outside the body. If I say something wrong about Brother Raymond, okay? He's a little chong hei, a little cham hei. Alright? Actually, he's not so chong hei, cham hei. He's even... Okay. I apologize. Alright? And after I make restitution, I buy him 5 dinars. Okay? And then we're good friends. We hug each other. We're best buddies. Go eat durian together and so forth. Okay, so these are sins outside the body. But when you commit sexual immorality, you are sinning against your own body. What happens? Why do you sin against your own body? You open a ground, a doorway, a foothold. And this is called a soul tie, S-O-U-L, by which a demonic unclean spirit is going to go to and fro and it's going to mess you up. It's going to mess you up big time. Hebrews 13 verse 4, which we meditated the last month or the previous month. It says that the marriage bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Okay? So, sexual sins, sex that is not between a legally married man and his legally married wife, is adultery or fornication, and it will create a soul tie that is unholy and that needs to be dealt with. So we know that sex is not just a physical matter. Okay? For those who are under 21, you're listening to all this, you feel a little bashful, you need to learn and know, okay? This service is for adults, alright? Under 16, they go to youth church, okay? But you need to know and understand, sex is a spiritual matter. And only sex within marriage is sanctified. So if there's sex between a husband and a wife, you will not get STD. You will not get sexually transmitted diseases. It is sanctified, it is protected, and it is blessed. God instituted the male and female. He instituted marriage. Alright. And for sex to take place within marriage. Sex that is not between a husband and wife is sin. And you open a ground and you will form a soul tie that will defile. This week one of the leaders sent me a note, alright, about this lady, and she is in church. She comes for worship services. She's born-again believer. She's in a cell group. From time to time, she will look up her ex-boyfriend to commit adultery. And she wonders why over the years, here she is married with children, how come she looked up her ex-boyfriend and after a while of conversing and so forth, she commits adultery. Until she received ministry. To cut the long story short, after the ministry, when the soul tie was cut, then did she have complete freedom and victory over this area. Because the soul tie is a tie that will bind you to your partners and to your previous partners. I shared before about this businessman. Every time he would go to Bangkok, and in those earlier days, he was introduced to hostesses and your friend. You find that once, after a while, he gets so familiar with one particular one, she gave him gifts. And one of the gifts she gave him is a belt. When he wears the belt. So each time he goes, he's literally bound. He's in a bondage. He will look her up. That soul tie. It is a soul tie that will bind you and put you in that bondage. So, in our premarital courses, alright, every couple that goes through this course with our Brother Jeffrey, Pastor Jerry Chia, one of the sessions, the second last session or the last session, all of them are told to cut the soul ties from all their previous relationships. So imagine this guy, all right? Now you're getting married, but he's messed up because he did not cut the soul tie. He had a girlfriend who is now married, and she was married with this guy who had this lady who is very grumpy at the whatever. And she had a man who had three women, one with curly hair. And she had a relationship with this guy who had a relationship with this guy, and he's bisexual. He's got a wife, but he's bisexual. And so on and so forth. You imagine the permutations and combinations that will mess up your marriage. And which is why we must cut soul ties. To cut, how do we cut? Alright, we're going to do that together. Alright, so if you are a lady and you had X relationship with three men, and they are called Archibald, Bartholomew, and Constantinople, alright? Or you are a guy, you had three relationships with April, May, and June. Okay, now I know we laugh at it, okay, but this is not serious. I'll now lead you in a prayer. Alright, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. Father God, repeat after me, Father God, I thank you for revealing your word to me. I now hear your word very clearly, that all other sins are outside the body, but sexual sins, I will sin against my own body. Right now, I confess my sins. I repent of what I did in the past. And in Jesus' name, I cut the soul tie with, for the next 30 seconds, under your breath, name them before the Lord. If you are currently remarried, cut the soul tie with your legally divorced spouse, ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends. All right? Repeat after me. I take the blood of Jesus to cleanse myself from every defilement that comes through the previous soul tie that is now cut in Jesus' name. I receive your blessing, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to address three groups of people. You must belong to one of these three groups, okay? There's no fourth group. The first group are all those who are currently now legally married. That means your husband and wife, okay? That's the first group. The second group are all who are singles. And the singles include those who have been separated, those who have been legally divorced, those who are widows or widowers, you are single. That means you're not in any relationship. Okay? And the third group are those who are in a relationship. That means you are courting, you got a steady boyfriend, steady girlfriend, or you are engaged and you're waiting to get married. Alright? Waiting for your BTO or whatever for the wedding date which you already planned. Three groupings. All clear? Nobody outside these three groupings, alright? So all those who are legally married, currently married, can you stand please? If your spouse is with you, hold their hands. Alright? Okay, I want you to pray after me. For the rest of us, I will lead the various groupings in the prayer. Listen and understand the principles. Okay? So for all who are married, pray after me. Father God, I thank you for my spouse, for bringing us together in holy matrimony. I thank you, Lord, that it is you who has instituted marriage. And I ask now, in Jesus' name, that you will bind our marriage together, that you will seal our marriage by the blood of the Lamb, by your word of life, by the Spirit of the living God. That you help us, O Lord, to walk in agreement, to walk in one accord, to walk in unison in our lives together, according to your will, O Father, guided by your word, Lord Jesus, with your wisdom, O Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you will fill our hearts with your love, O Father, to learn to love and grow in this love for you, O Lord, for each other, for our children, for our grandchildren, and for all you bring across our paths. Lord, we dedicate our marriage to you. This day, that you will sanctify it. And Lord, when we quarrel, when we get into arguments, Lord, give each of us the grace to be humble and to work it through. Help us through the thick and the thin of life. Help us to know that you are the center of our marriage. As we submit to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of our marriage. We commit our marriage to you with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All those who are singles, all right? You are singles. I've already defined. You're singles, please stand. All right? Okay? You pray after me. Lord, I thank you that you have made me beautiful. That you have created male and female. And that I am complete in you. And that all your grace is available for me to this life to pursue the destiny you have for me. Alright, singles, pray louder. Huh? Don't have to be shy. Lord, I thank you that your grace is available for me, that I am fulfilled. I can be fulfilled. And I will pursue the destiny you have for me. Lord, I ask for strength that you help me to be holy as you are holy, to be set apart for you, to live my life giving you glory. I pray for wisdom. I pray for your guidance. I pray that you will open my eyes to appreciate the community that you have placed me in, the community in the church, in the body life, the community in my workplace, my friends, my classmates, my neighbors, and all you bring across my life's path. So Lord, I commit my life to you as a single, and I thank you for all that you made me to be and all that you will make me to become. I give my life to you and acknowledge you. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, all those who are courting, you got a steady boyfriend, steady girlfriend, you're planning to get married, you are engaged, would you stand? Okay, quite a number, alright. First service, a lot less. First service, 90, almost 90% married. But Saturday service, a lot of this category. Okay, are you ready? Alright. Pray after me. Father God, I thank you for bringing me through life to such a time as this. I thank you for my partner friend. Lord, you have brought us together. Lord, I commit the friendship to you, that you will guide each of us to journey with you. As you speak to our hearts, as you help each of us to know each other, Lord, open each of our eyes to see ourselves in the light of your word, as revealed by your Spirit. Lord, give us the grace. Teach us to pray together. Teach us to look at the life ahead, not just the coming months, but the years to come, for a lifetime together. In the meantime, Lord, give us strength, give us grace to be holy and to continue this friendship, this relationship that will be pleasing to you. Help us to be aware of the community you place us in. The friends, the brothers and sisters, our families that are around us. Lord, give us the wisdom and the grace. We commit to you this relationship and we declare that Jesus, you are Lord of this relationship. As we commit ourselves to you with thanksgiving in Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen, respectively. Okay, amen. All right. Soul ties. So, as you commit yourself to God, all right, you only want the soul tie that is within the institution of marriage. Okay? There's another category of soul ties that is unhealthy. All right? And this comes from codependency relationships. Codependency relationships. For example, excessive mourning for the dead. Many years ago, I went to this church and there was this lady, her husband has already died a number of years. But she was still mourning for the husband. There is a place, a time, and a season to mourn. But after a number of years and you're still mourning, putting on mourning clothes, then it is not right. You're giving ground to the evil one. Alright? So this is an unhealthy soul tie that must be broken. Whether it's your mother that's passed on, your husband that has passed on, or so forth. Another category is we are unwilling to completely cut off a past relationship. And then thirdly, where one party excessively leans on the other. So one of the leaders, they sent me this note, alright, describing two real scenarios. One scenario is an unhealthy dependency between an older lady and an unrelated, that means not blood related, younger lady. This older lady is very caring, very loving, will take this younger lady out, she buy her meals, bring her to restaurants, buy handbags, buy clothes for her and so forth. And this younger lady became very dependent on this older lady, where she has to account almost everything that she does, wherever she is, whatever she is doing. And after a while, this older lady becomes very controlling, and the relationship is very unhealthy. Okay, and you have such a relationship, there is an unhealthy soul tie. There's another case of an ungodly soul tie between the parents and the child, where the parents unreasonably place the burden of the state of their marriage on the child. They say that if mommy and daddy quarrel or mommy and daddy separate, it's your fault. Because it's always about you. Alright, and this child grows up having this kind of wholly unhealthy soul tie with the parents. And this is not good. And this has to be cut. Okay? Now, you've heard from this pulpit that we pursue relationships that are healthy. Pursue relationships that value add to your life. Pursue relationships that multiplies positively into your lives. Get out of relationships that are toxic. Toxic means it is negative. And it divides your life. If you're helping somebody, you are value adding into that somebody's life for people you help. So otherwise, remember, you are not God, I'm not God. You cannot care for the whole world, alright, and get into all kinds of relationships where you don't have the capacity nor the resources to take care of them. Okay? So, 1 minute, every head bowed. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. Do you have an unhealthy, unholy soul tie of an unhealthy relationship? Holy Spirit, would you reveal now? Whoever comes to your mind, commit that relationship to God, and then in Jesus' name, cut yourself off, cut the soul tie with that relationship. It can be a teacher. It can be a colleague in the office, or you are unhealthily depending on your boss or your ex-boss to provide leads and contacts and everything. It's an unhealthy relationship. Cut that soul tie in Jesus' name. Okay, done that? Amen. Alright, so now we'll move on to the next subject. And I want to encourage you again, if there are still residual issues, things you think you are not completely clean up, alright, again, sign up for RTF or see any of the pastors or the leaders in the front. The second area I want to cover today is SOFCs, alright, or what we call consequences of the sins of idolatry of our fathers. Who we are today is a result of two streams of influence. Who we are today, who I am today, is a result of two streams of influence. The first stream are the genes of our forefathers. You are the product of the sperm and the egg of your father and mother. But the sperm from your father comes from the sperm and the egg of his parents and his forefathers. And similarly, that of your mother with her parents and her forefathers. So you see the permutations and combinations that come through the DNA and the chromosomes down to yourself. All right. It affects who you are today, not only in your physical looks, but in terms of your temperament, your values, and so forth. Okay? It is also the accumulated experiences from the time you were conceived in your mother's womb until now. And your mother carried you for 9 months. And let's say you were the 16th child, and you're really a burden. And the mother didn't really want to have you and wanted to abort you. Immediately when the mother thought about that and entertained that thought during the 9 months of pregnancy, a doorway, a ground, a foothold would have been given to the evil one. And you will experience rejection, you will experience abandonment, you will experience victimization, and so forth. Okay? So, the scripture for this is in Exodus 20 verse 3 to 5, which we've gone through before. I just want to highlight verse 5. It says, God will, He's a jealous God. He visits the iniquity of the fathers to the children to the third and fourth generation. If we paraphrase this, it means that sins, iniquity, have consequences. God in His mercy will stop the consequence in the third generation or in the fourth generation, depending on the degree of the strength of the iniquity. The devil in his wickedness will want to trigger this for another 3 and 4 generations. Alright? So, what is iniquity? Generational iniquity is the twistedness because of the accumulated sins. Both our sins and the sins of our forefathers. Our twistedness. Iniquity is the bent, the twistedness. It is the propensity towards the same negative behavior traits. I'll give you a few examples in a moment. For example, you are having a bad temper, all right? And each time you get bad temper, foul language, F word, and all that will come out, although you are a Christian. And you find that your father has got a bad temper, and your grandmother had a violent temper, she killed her neighbor, all right? So, there is a pattern. It doesn't affect every single one, but there is enough in the generation. It's a pressure to sin against the laws of God. Yet, you are still responsible. Don't just blame your forefathers. You are still responsible for their sins. And finally, this idolatry, iniquity, curse cycle will continue until we break it or until we repent it before God. What is idolatry? An idol is anyone, anything, any situation that takes the place of God in our lives. An idol is anything where we replace God with. Okay? Is anything, anyone, any situation where we place our hope and trust in more than our hope and our trust in God? That is an idol. Alright? So what is a curse? A curse is the opposite of a blessing. In Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 and 20, we have learned this before. The sovereignty of God, there are many things. His omniscience, His omnipresence, His omnipotence, His name is love. His voice is thunder. Alright? His strong, and so forth. But amongst all these things, remember two things. Number one, He has given you and I a free will. Number two, He has placed laws and principles of life. And He tells us, choose correctly. He even gives us the model answer. He says, therefore, choose life. If we choose life, we will reap positive outcomes, and they're called blessings. If we choose wrongly, that means we violate the laws of God, we reap negative outcomes, and they are called curses. So a curse is the negative consequence of rejecting God. When we reject God, that means we reject His word, we reject His principles, alright, and we will reap the consequences. It's reaping the harvest of specific sins that has been sown. And it is the destructive works of the devil because a doorway, a foothold, a ground is given to the devil. Which results in this cycle. Right now you have a bad temper, alright? You get violent and then you reap the negative consequences called the curse. As you continue to do so, you keep on depending on yourself, your strength, rather than repenting and going back to the laws of God, and it repeats itself and you do the same sins again, the iniquity, and it repeats itself. Okay, so common causes, number one, sickness and infirmities. If you want to buy insurance, life insurance, and insure yourself for $500,000, the first thing your insurance agent will say, I need you to go for a medical checkup. And when you go and see the doctor, he will give you a form, Those very elaborate will give you a 14-page form. And you literally have to go through them, and basically they're asking you questions. Do you have a family history of cancer? Do you have a family history of depression? Do you have a family history of heart failures? Of mental illness in your family? Do you have a family history of kidney breakdown? All right, or liver cirrhosis? And so on and so forth. What the doctors are looking for, they're looking for a pattern. And they call this hereditary sickness and diseases. Hereditary means you have inherited it. And they do all kinds of R&D, research and development, and tests to fine-tune this. All right. But as believers, we know that the root is not just in the genes. The root is not just in your chromosomes. The root is spiritual. There's this, I got one whole ton of testimonies. All right. Let me just read one. One of the leaders they ministered to this guy, he's a 26-year-old guy, and he's been diagnosed with arthritis. He's gone to many churches to get prayer for arthritis, but he was not healed. So these two leaders, they ministered to this guy, they went back to the womb exercise, all right, get him to close his eyes and get him to ask the Lord to reveal where is the source of his arthritis. And then he came out. The father was a womanizer, and the mother harbored deep sense of hatred and bitterness towards the husband. And these negative feelings were transferred to him when he was a baby in the womb. The mother also suffered from arthritis. And as they were praying, they found out that the aunt and the grandmother also suffered from arthritis. And there were bitterness. And we know that the cure for bitterness is forgiveness. So he led through the whole steps of freedom from this curse. And he finally forgave his parents and forgave himself and brought himself unto the Lord. His pain, the pain and the swelling from arthritis in his joints disappeared. 1 month later, he went to see the doctor and he was diagnosed completely freed from his arthritis. And this applies the same thing for cancer, for any other sickness and disease. The second thing, sexual sins, we already covered that, all right? Soul ties. The third area, abandonment. Abandonment is the sense and feeling of being rejected. And let me find this testimony. Abandonment. Okay, abandonment. These two leaders in our church, they ministered to a young lady with deep abandonment issues that develops into depression. She goes into depression from time to time. And besides breaking her family, deep occult involvement, her abandonment was caused by her mom who gave birth to her at an older age. The mom was in her 40s. And said that this baby is really, of all things why she got pregnant, all right, really a burden. And as she grew up, she was rejected, she was called by all kinds of names, she was bullied in school, and all this added to her abandonment issues. During SSH, which we do in RTF, SSH is Soul and Spirit Hurts. She saw a picture of the Lord coming to embrace her, love her, and whispered to her that she is deeply loved, she's completely forgiven, and that she is precious in the sight of the Lord. And after that, she was completely healed of this abandonment. I mean, when she goes to office and people will go out for lunch together, she'll be left behind. So abandonment, victimization, rejection, they're all in the same category. Anger, rage, outbursts of wrath, I mentioned that. All right, it runs in your generation. You notice that it may appear amongst one or two siblings out of your many siblings. You notice that in your parents, your grandparents, in 3-4 generations. Rejection, unworthiness, passivity, fears, shame, fear, control, occult involvement, which we dealt with thoroughly last week. We ask the question, all right, we know this from scriptures and from experience. Is there some signs to all this? All right, I want to submit to you, there are various studies that is ongoing. And I want to show you this video. It's only a 3-minute clip. It won't tell you the whole thing, but that is enough to tell you and suggest to you there's a certain signs to it. Let's watch the video.
What science has now learned, and it's so fascinating, is that the choices we make in life will alter how our genes are expressed. Darwin hypothesized that it was mutation over millions of years that caused his finches to have different beaks. Science has actually now proved it's epigenetic modification. Epigenetics, the instructions sitting above the genome, telling the genes how to express themselves, which are changed based on experience. Thank you. what we go through in life, the foods that we eat, the choices we make, the environment in which we live will actually alter the genes in telling which genes to turn on and which genes to turn off.
What we know about genetics and addiction is that behaviors, sensations, input into the brain will use the DNA to change how the cell responds. And basically what happens is that genes are turned off or turned on based on what that response is. While the DNA doesn't change, the expression does. So the ability to be aware of environment, the ability to respond may be genetically coded, but when we begin changing it, the term we use is epigenetically. When we change how that's expressed, we change the enzymes that are made, we change the response of the cell, and that change becomes a part of the genetic expression.
Doesn't happen generally with one exposure to pornography. It's the repetitive volitional exposure to pornography that will cause this type of gene expression to happen, such that you alter your pleasure circuits and you alter the inhibitory feedback which would tell you not to do this. And that's epigenetic modification, changing your brain function. When we have kids, we not only give the sequence to our kids, we will pass along the instructions 2 and 3 generations down, and so if we become addicted to stuff, we can pass along to our kids gene constellations that make them more vulnerable to addictions. So we can pass along both positive things in our life and or negative depending on the choices we make in life. Many adolescents will say things like, hey, it's my body, I can do what I want. Only if you're never going to have kids. If you're going to have kids, it's not only your body, it's your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandkids' body too. So be careful what you do with it.
Don't think of it as a battle you're just fighting for yourself. You're fighting for the very lineage that God gave you. And if you will break this curse, then your sons and your daughters have a better shot. And your grandchildren have a better shot. My son's name is Jubal Lee because his dad took the courage to break the curses off of him. I want to invite you to do the very same thing for those you love.
Amen. All right, what the last guy said. All I know is from the neurologists, all right, people who study brain about the veins and so forth. If you practice a habit, all right, for 60 odd days, let's say 2 months, you will alter your genes. You use the term epigenetic, whatever, all right, it will affect your behavior. We are a composite of our thinking pattern. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. And the way we think is shaped by our values, our attitudes, our motivations. Which is why Proverbs 4:23 says, guard the heart. For out of the heart are the issues of life. Alright? So our behavior patterns, now this is both for good and for evil. And it's going to affect, and we're going to pass it on to the next generation, our children and our children's children. You look at some couples, they look alike. I look at Kok Wan and his wife, alright? They look alike. Why? Alright, as we continue in this one flesh union, alright, we mold each other. Okay, early on I was teasing Elder Hock Chai, he's disappeared already. There is a course called Healing Begins with Sanctification of the Heart. We're going to have it conducted here in November, alright, I think November 22nd to 24th, where this is a medical doctor giving all the scientific medical evidence that shows the brain and the structure of the brains. That's why when we say that people are addicted to pornography, for example, the structure of the brains will change. So you need to be delivered, you need to be healed, all right, to be completely set free. Because otherwise, it's the same pattern that will trigger you the next porn, the next masturbation, the next this, that, and the other. We can be completely set free. And that is the power of the gospel. We want to walk in freedom and victory. All right, as we end, we need to know firstly the 3 spiritual weapons that we have. The blood of Christ, that will cleanse, that will cover the ground. The name of Jesus, our authority to cast out the demons. There is legal ground. And thirdly, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We need to learn how to wield the sword of the Spirit. And let me just spell out all the steps here, and then after we're going to walk through all the 4. It's in your handout. Okay? So the first one is we must confess our sins and our ancestors' sins. I'll give you the scriptures in a moment. Then we ask for forgiveness. Then we need to forgive those who caused us to sin. We need to forgive our mothers, our fathers, our siblings, our roommate, our classmate, our friends, our colleagues, those who caused us to fall and stumble, our fathers, our grandfathers, all right? Then we need to forgive them and we need to forgive ourselves. And same pattern, then we must renounce and break the power of the curses. One thing I'm consciously doing, all right, I'm a new grandfather. From the day he was born, even before he was born, he's blessed. Every time I carry him, he's blessed from the dew of heaven, from the fatness of the earth, with grain and new wine and all. And I try to give him all the blessings, lay my hands on him from Genesis to Revelations. He must start on the right footing and become a man of God. Even before he was born, I pray that he will be born to be a delight to the Lord. That's why the Bible talks about godly offsprings in Malachi chapter 3. Very important, okay? Let's go through. Confess our sins and our ancestors' sins. Ask for forgiveness. Leviticus 26:40. If they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, both. All right? Leviticus 26:40. Also mentioned in Daniel chapter 9. Before Israel went back to Jerusalem, Daniel prayed. He made confession for his sins and the iniquities of our fathers. I give you two other sets of scriptures. Nehemiah chapter 1. When the gates were burned, the walls were burned down. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah prayed an identificational repentance prayer. Same thing in Nehemiah chapter 9. Four sets of scriptures now. Identificational repentance. Where you repent for your sins and the sins of your parents and the forefathers. I'll give you 1 minute. On your own, the prayer is on the screen. Whatever is obvious to you that comes through the generational lines. All right? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is it anger? Is it anger tantrums? Is it cancer? Is it a sickness? Is it depression? Is it abandonment, rejection, or victimization? You feel that you're being victimized, you're rejected. Or is it that sense of failure? You cannot hold a job. Every 18, 24, 36 months, you lose your job. And then you start all over again. Every time you have a certain level of victory, you fail. You don't seem to be able to sustain a job or your finances. That sense of failure because the devil has got a ground. You see it in your generation, your parents, your grandparents. Bring it before the Lord. Repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you and forgive the sins of your parents for this category. And then take the precious blood of Jesus to close this primary open door. The blood of Jesus to close the secondary doors. That the doors will be sealed by the blood of Jesus. The devil has no more legal right to trigger this for you and for your children and your children's children. Okay? After you've done that, point two, forgive all who caused you to sin. Forgive your parents in particular. Forgive your father, your mother for allowing that to happen. Forgive your grandparents. Forgive your forefathers. And then forgive yourself. Would you do that? Take 1 minute. Forgive them for these curses, these negative consequences that comes to you and your family lines. Choose to forgive. Forgiveness is an act of your will. And ask God to heal you of the hurts. And then release judgment. Forgive because God has forgiven you. Okay, and then thirdly, renounce and break the power of the curse. Now, what is this principle? This is the principle of removal and replacement. So, remove the curse and replace with the blessings of God. So, for example, remove rejection and replace it with now you are accepted. Right? Remove sickness and now replace that you are being healed. I received this text last night. There was a lady that was at a Saturday service, and we went through this prayer. And she wrote, "Hi SP." She was one of our cell leaders. I'm sure she got my number. "Hi SP, just want to share to you that the last song we sang earlier was so powerful. I am a child of God. And after that, as we sing the song, I'm a child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Some of you may want to substitute the word fear to bondage, anger, abandonment, rejection, cancer. You just substitute that word. It was so powerful. I felt the love of Jesus coming to me. To be honest with you, throughout your message, my head was disturbing me. I couldn't really focus on your message. I had a severe headache. But deep right in my heart, I knew that this message was for me. And I needed to hear the message very clearly. I prayed and asked God to heal me so that I can focus. I tahan. If you wrote the word, tahan means tong means you bear with it. All right? I tahan till the end when you sang the closing song. I surrender all to God for full healing. And as you led us through that last powerful prayer, at that point, the headache left me. I could feel my head lifted up. I felt so light. And my headache was gone. Thank God for His healing power. And some of you are experiencing it now, and some of you will experience it when you go back and as you think through and work through this. Renounce and break that curse in Jesus' name. Okay? And then fourthly, appropriate personally the freedom and the blessings that Christ has purchased for us. Christ was cursed on the cross so that the blessing of Abraham might come. Pay attention to the word might. It is not automatic. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. And then the last verse of Galatians 3 says, all who are in Christ, we are descendants of Abraham. Why might? Because we must receive. We must appropriate the very promises of God. Okay? 1 minute, would you do that? Renounce, that means remove and replace, and then receive the blessings. Receive God's freedom from the sins, the curses, and now receive the blessing. Close your eyes. Ask the Holy Spirit, what are you receiving now? No more a slave to fear. No more sickness. No more abandonment. No more rejection. But acceptance, freedom, healing. Amen. All right, the same slide again, the four steps. If you do this continuously, some of us have to do this. I did this over the last 50 years as a believer. Keep on, this is what I mean by tuning up your life. God is very merciful. God is very gentle. At this time of our life, He put His finger on this area, deal with it. Then move on. If you're struggling with esteem issues, significant issues, all right, ask the Lord to restore to you that you will find your full significance in the Lord, whatever it is, all right, and allow the Lord to deal with you. So we are being changed as we allow the Word of God to wash over us. Okay, 2 Corinthians 7:1 on the count of three. One, two, read. Therefore, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, all contamination, all defilement. As we become a holy people to God. And as you become a holy people to God, the Bible promises us you will live a victorious life. You'll live a life that overcomes. You're able to overcome the devil, the world, your self-life. The psalmist says, the path before me drips with oil. This is the blessing of the Lord. Alright, let's stand as we worship the Lord. And I want you to worship as you sing the words. Sing and you pray as you pray and pray as you sing. Alright? And make this declaration, this prophetic declaration, we're no longer in bondage, but we are set free.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
A declaration,
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
All the brothers.
Yeah.
Loving me. You knew me when I was conceived in my mother's womb. I thank you that you have a destiny for me. You have a book in heaven where all the days ordained for me, you have fashioned it as my destiny. So in the name of Jesus, I pray that my destiny will unfold before me. That all the legal grounds given to the evil one is now annulled by the blood of Jesus. That every accusation by the evil one is now void, and that I can walk freely in this destiny that you have for me, for my life, for my marriage, my family, my finances, my work, and my life ahead. I thank you, Lord, for this freedom. I thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price for my freedom, that you were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. You were chastised for my peace. And by your stripes, I am healed. I thank you, Lord. I'm no longer in bondage. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to all the negative curses in my life. I am free in Christ. Help me to walk and to know your truth and to walk in this freedom. Help me to yield to you, Holy Spirit. For you said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, as I connect with the Holy Spirit, I will walk in freedom. So Lord, give me increasing knowledge, increasing clarity, understanding, and your wisdom to live this life for your glory and to be a blessing to others. I surrender my life to you with thanksgiving and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Give me praise. Yes.